With all of that being said, we're going to start, we got the beginning of a new series coming where we're going to be talking about the character of God. And the character of God is something that, well, people ask questions about all the time. In fact, I hear people ask all the time, how do we know that we're understanding Scripture correctly? How do we know these? How do we know that what we're reading in Scripture, that we understand it in the correct way? We can go to anywhere. We can go to Dr. Google on the internet, and we can get all sorts of answers. In fact, they have this new thing called AI right now that you can look at this little snippet in the beginning, and it will give you an answer that is, well, it'll give you a surface layer, kind of a definition, an understanding of it, but it doesn't go very deep. It doesn't go very deep at all. You can go to any particular church and they will give you a particular, well, understanding of a word of Scripture. But for us to really understand it, the best way for us to understand Scripture is to, well, read it. We need to read our Scripture, right? We need to know what it says, the actual words that say in there. In fact, we need to study it so that we know what those words mean. We need to maybe sometimes look up the original meaning of the words in Scripture so we know what the actual original author was saying in it. What he was saying to the people that he was writing it to so that we know what Scripture is and then we can understand it correctly. But most of all, we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will come in and will interpret Scripture for us. That we would have that connection with our Father in heaven, with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit working in our lives, and that they would be explaining to us into our hearts and our minds exactly what we're reading in Scripture. This is the way that we know that we're understanding it correctly. And once we have that narrowed down, there's another question that comes up quite often. How do we know that we're following His Word correctly? How do you know that you're actually following the Scripture, the Word that Jesus has said in the Gospels? How do we know we're following that correctly, that we're doing exactly what He wants the way He wants us to do it? How do we know that? One of the ways we know that is we look up the context of what He's saying. That doesn't mean that we just read the Scripture and we get our basic understanding just from that. We look what He wrote before it. We look what He wrote after it. We look at the entire book of that gospel. We take a look at the entire Bible and weigh it against everything in that Bible. That way we know the context of what God is speaking to us. That we know that we're following it correctly. We also look at God's attributes. You know, if you guys have been following the countdown for the last few weeks, you can see a number of God's attributes on there. In fact, there's 57 of them I put on there. There's 57 different attributes that I put on that video. Now, I ran out of time. Otherwise, we'd be sitting here watching a countdown video for 10 minutes instead of just 5 minutes. But God has so many attributes. And these attributes, they come together. They give us insight to something. They give us insight to the character of God. You guys perhaps have heard me speak or somebody else speak, your favorite preacher on television or on the internet, whatever, talk about the character of God. That we must be within the character of God. This is how we know we're doing things correctly. That we're within the character of God Himself. And that we live our lives according to that. So we think about the attributes. We think about the character of God. But there's also something else that we need to think about on a regular basis, and that is the very nature of God. Now, I look at this, I think about the words, attributes, characters, and natures, and they all seem to intermesh. And you would be correct in thinking that if that's what you're thinking. It's like, what's the difference between them? Well, there's subtle differences between them, but you can intermix each and every one between the character, the nature, and the attributes of God. And we look at that, but for this morning, where we're going to kind of just be more specific and be pinpointed about the nature of God, who He is. God's very nature, His immutable nature, this nature that is unchanging over time. You knew that, right? That God's nature is unchangeable over time, that it cannot be changed. In fact, if you want to get really controversial about it, I would tell you that God cannot even change his own character, cannot change his own nature. God cannot change that, because if God ends up changing that, what happens? God ends up not being God anymore. If he was to change, he would not be God anymore. So we talk about God being all-powerful and being able to do everything. It's like, that's probably a series for another day, talking about God and what he cannot change. But we're going to talk about his very nature and what he has. Because our God and his unchanging, immutable nature is eternal. Our God is eternal. Did you know that God was eternal? You're looking at me like, God, we already know these types of things. Preacher, we already know that God is eternal. Why are we talking about this? Because sometimes it's good to go back to the beginning. Sometimes it's good to have a refresher and to remember those things. That way when we're speaking to God, we remember this aspect, this nature of God as we're coming before the throne and we're worshiping him. Because sometimes we get so caught up with the other things, with even the minutiae of things, we forget the big ones. And this is a big one. Our God is eternal. Always was, always will be eternal. Right? We forget to take this into account sometimes. In fact, there's a number of scripture that talks about the eternal nature of God. If you want to grab your Bibles with me, we're going to look up just a few of those. One of those comes from the prophet Isaiah, where he's talking about God and his form and how he is. And it comes from a place in chapter 40, where Isaiah is talking about the very eternal nature of God. And if you're there, if you're able, you've got to that point, you can look at verse 28. Where Isaiah utters out, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The God, the Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." Our God, our Lord, is everlasting. He's God. Perhaps you've gone through and maybe skimmed through the Psalms, where Psalms has talked about his eternalness. Maybe you've read Psalm 90. And you've read in there how he talks about our Lord and our Savior, our God being eternal in chapter 90, verse 2, where the psalmist says, "Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Before all this was done, before all this was set about, before the whole world, God was everlasting. You are God. That's what the psalmist said. Maybe you want something a little more recent. Well, then let's turn to the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy, where Paul is talking to Timothy about the eternalness of God and who God is. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Right in the first chapter, verse 17, where he utters out, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." To the King eternal, immortal. We think about those terms. We think about what Paul is saying. We think about what the psalmist is saying. We think about what Isaiah is saying. And we look at that word eternal and talking about how God is eternal, but we don't really understand. Our minds are limited because of our human minds. We are limited to the aspect of what we can understand. That's not to say that people are ignorant or dumb. It's just to say that we have a limitation in our human self to not understanding the totality of the eternalness of God. And I don't wish to come up here and do a disrespect to God trying to explain some things, but there's some things that the Lord has revealed to me that I wanted to share with you. That the Holy Spirit has come in and said, I want you to speak of these things. So I pray right now, I pray your hearts would be open. I pray your ears and your eyes would be open. I pray that the Holy Spirit would be working inside you right now. So as you hear these words, that the Holy Spirit would be interpreting. The Holy Spirit would be giving you knowledge and understanding and wisdom of what's being said. Because a lot of times when we think about eternalness, we think in the sense of time. When you hear the word eternal, what do you automatically go to? Well, myself, I usually think of time first. I think about God's eternal in time. Well, time is, well, something that is actually finite. Did you know that? God invented time. God existed before time. So time is not forever. Time is finite. It has a beginning. Now, I don't know where the end is at. God does. But it's finite in its nature. Our God is outside of time. He's outside. And a lot of times when we say the word eternal, we allocate the sense of time to everything. We allocate the sense of time to even God. But he lives outside of time. God was here yesterday, he's here now, and he'll be here tomorrow. But he's not here yesterday, now, and tomorrow in the state that we are. He is there all at once in the one sum. He just is. God just is. He lives in all three of those states all at one time. There's that word time again. All in one moment. That's a measurement of time because that's what we understand. That's what I understand as being eternal. At the same moment, God is there. So it's natural that the thought of, well, eternity can, well, it can leave us a little bit overwhelmed. When you think about the eternalness of God, sometimes it's like, I don't understand everything, and I become overwhelmed by the thought of it. We talk about our existence, and then we talk about the rest of the time that we spend with God. That's how we equate it. We become overwhelmed by even the nature of it. If you truly sit down and think about it, inside somewhere, it's like, I just don't understand. I'm not getting it. But that's because, well, we're human. We're just human. And God is not human. God is God. It's because we become overwhelmed. Some would say that, well, that's scary. Because we cannot fully know or understand that word and God's nature. We cannot fathom the very fabric of what eternity actually is, of how God brought this into being. Our minds cannot handle such things. Because we actually live in the moment. Think about right now. You're living in this moment. This is what you understand. You're sitting here for this, well, 2 to 3 hours. And you're going through, well, a worship time with the Lord. And you're thinking about this moment. This is what we understand as time and eternal, is this moment, what envelops our time, our existence, at the moment we're in it. At this moment, I'm standing up here and I'm talking to my family. This is what I understand as time. This is what I understand as that being. And in our lives, as we're doing that, we automatically assert this type of existence on God. We look at God and we automatically ascertain or assign this understanding of eternal to God because that's what we understand. That's what we know. But God is outside of that. But we can't fathom that. We somehow erroneously, well, assume or think that God is doing the exact same thing we're doing. That God is in this church right here, right now. And this is the only place that he's at. But God is not. God's actually in next week already. And the week beyond that, he's already actually like a month ago. He's still right there. All at one time. Then, now, next. All at one time. This is God and in his eternalness. But we can't understand that to the fullness as God does. So, like I said, we erroneously assume those things, and we find ourselves, because we don't understand the concept of eternal, that we find ourselves, well, fretting or worrying about tomorrow, We worry about what's going to happen because we can't see in the future, right? We don't know the future. God can reveal the future. Yes, sure he can. But we don't know exactly what's going to happen. And in that instance, we can also find ourselves, well, being disillusioned by the past. Because of whatever has happened in our lives that we get disillusioned by, because of whatever guilt and shame that we might carry, we are upset about. Because of whatever sin that may have occurred in the past, we find ourselves at a point where we fret about it. We worry about it. We're anxious about it. We become depressed about those things even. We find ourselves in those states. In fact, we find ourselves reminiscing about the sins that God has said you are no longer supposed to carry those, but we do. We find ourselves being chained to the past of our sins when God has said, I've forgotten them. How come you haven't? That's because we don't have an understanding of eternalness that God does. We worry about those things because we don't know. And because we don't know, we find ourselves being afraid, wondering what's going to happen. Wondering what's going to happen because of what's already happened. We find ourselves in that state of emotional upheaval and can't have happiness. But I'm here to tell you, because we have an eternal God, that you can have joy. Because you can have an assurance that God knows all of it. That God is in that moment and every second of every day all at one time. That he makes it part of his very nature for God to know everything that was, is, and is going to happen. We can find assurance in that. Because of that assurance, we can have joy. Joy because we have an infinite God. You know, Psalm 100, when the psalmist wrote that, Psalm 100 in chapter 5, he uttered out that the Lord is good, right? Let's take a look at that. Psalm 100, chapter 5, where it says the Lord is good, the Lord endures forever. But what about the Lord endures forever? His love, right? His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all the generations. God is there. He is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is the assurance that we get because of God. Because of an infinite God who lives outside of time. This is our Lord and our Savior. Our Heavenly Father who has a perfect foreknowledge, a perfect wisdom, and keeps his promises that he gives. He's perfect in his nature. But even being perfect in nature, there's times that, well, we don't trust God. We find ourselves at odds with God, saying, God, I don't know. And I'm worried about it. And I'm going to take, control of things. I'm going to do these things by my own hands and stop trusting you. Even though we have a God who already knows what's going to happen, right? He's got perfect wisdom. But we just don't trust him. We seem to second guess his every move. You know, if God does something you want, if God does something I want, what do we usually do? We usually praise God, right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for just being so good and delivering to me what I wanted. And we say, well, it must have been what I needed. But if God doesn't do what you want, what do you usually do then? Oh. What's that? Pout. Pout's a good one. We certainly go, okay, God, you told me to do this. But am I sure I heard God right? Am I sure that God actually said this to me? We wonder if God actually said what we thought we heard. And sometimes it's not even thinking what we heard. We wonder if he said what we actually heard. You know, it reminds me of Jonah. Reminds me of Jonah. Jonah heard God say something. What did he do? He didn't like what he said. He went the other direction, right? Did not work out well for Jonah. Now, I don't wish for any of you to be swallowed up by a fish for 3 days and then spewed out on the beach to go do what God asked you to do. But even Jonah did not dismiss the fact that God told him this. But we do. We try to think around it and say, God, did you actually tell me this? So we ask again. We have a Gideon moment. You guys know the story about Gideon? That's something that you can look up if you don't. We have a Gideon moment where we distrust and say, God, send me another sign, please. We distrust God except when he's giving us what we want. We distrust him. But God knew that was going to happen because of his perfect foreknowledge, because of his perfect wisdom, because he's eternal. He knew that was going to happen. So he sent his perfect son for us. He sent a perfect sacrifice so that even in our misunderstanding, he says, I'm going to give you something so that someday you can understand. That you can know exactly what I'm talking about. So we could be forgiven. But there's even those in the world that have a trouble in believing in a Savior that God has given so that they can believe one day and they can fully understand God. They want to talk about, you know, God, but they don't want to talk about the one way. It's not in their, well, vocabulary, so to speak. It's just being human. Us thinking for ourselves and not trusting in what God has for us. But our God, even in our untrust, is unyielding. Did you know your God is unyielding? Did you know your God, my God, our God will never give up on you? Did you know that? Did you know that he is in such a state that of his unyielding righteousness, love, grace, and mercy? That our God, because of that, because he's eternal, he possesses eternal love, grace, and mercy. He possesses eternal love, eternal grace, eternal mercy. It's not something that he can stop. He will always love everybody. He will always want everybody to have mercy. He will always want everybody to have grace. Always. It will be eternal. And it's available to those who will accept his son as their Savior, that they would confess and believe in their heart, right? This very nature of God will never end. It is eternal. And it doesn't end there. It doesn't stop there. It goes on because our God is eternally active. This is the other aspect of the nature of God and being eternal that we don't understand. We allow it to time, but our God is eternally active. He's always around us, always doing things. He was here. I was talking about this morning. I still feel the presence of God here. I still feel the Holy Spirit speaking through me, using me as a conduit to express God's words to everybody. I feel those things because he is an active. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says he is active and alive, right? He's alive and he's active in our lives. In fact, if you would look in the Word of God, you would look in this totality of the Word and him moving around us. He is alive and active. No matter where you go in the world, you will not find a place that he is not. And even though people in those places may think that he's not active, he is. They just look at God and then don't want to believe that he's moving things for the best because, well, sometimes it's not what we want. We don't want to see God active because he's giving us something that, well, it's not what we want. But God's alive and active always. His word has not stopped. His word works in our lives today, just as it worked in the lives of when they wrote it. Just like come next year, come 10 years, come 50 years from now, come whenever from now, this will be alive and active in this world. And it can be alive and active in your life if you want it to be. It's going to be anyway, so you might as well just accept it. His very word, his very attributes, his very character, his very nature is going to be alive and active for eternity. Think about that for a second. There's nowhere that you can go that God is not there again. He continually speaks to those who listen. He will always direct us in a way which is better for us. He will always do that. And he continually changes lives for the better. Think about that. Think about how Jesus does that. That Jesus comes to an unbeliever's life and how that life changes. I don't have to go back very far. Some of you might have to go back a little bit further. Not because of your age, but because you've been walking with Jesus for so long. He changes lives. And when he changes lives, when we believe, when we are part of God, we begin to understand maybe just a little bit more about the eternalness of God and who he actually is. You know, we need to stop thinking of God in human terms, of trying to understand God in human terms. It's nature to us, right? It's something that we do because that's who we are, but we need to start looking and start, maybe we don't know exactly, but we need to believe beyond that. There's something that Evelyn Underhill said, and I think she probably put it better than anybody else. And you've probably heard other people say it, but this was the saying coming from Evelyn Underhill many, many, many years ago. And she said, "A God who is small enough to be understood is not big enough to be worshipped." Think about that for a second. A God who is small enough to be understood is not big enough to be worshipped. So we need to expand our faith in who God is. We're not going to understand it. We can't have the knowledge. Our brains cannot fathom it, cannot put it together. But our hearts can. Our hearts can believe in it. Our hearts can have faith in a God who is eternal, and a God who has eternal love for each and every one of us, and a God who has eternal desire for mercy and grace for each one of us. But he's also a God of eternal righteousness. We cannot think of God in the aspect of time because he's outside of time. But it's a good thing to want to understand God. It's a good thing to want to understand him. We need to strive for that. We need to look at his attributes, his character, and his nature, and try to understand. But we cannot know everything about him. We cannot know everything about him. And that's why we have the Holy Spirit that helps us out. Because the Holy Spirit is there to help interpret. That's why Jesus came, so we had an opportunity to understand our Father in heaven. So that down the road sometime we would have that. And we would know it. Because if we understood everything about him, then he would stop being God. God wants us to think about it. He wants us to consider and ponder his eternal nature. If he didn't want us to do that, he wouldn't put all that information in Scripture about his nature, his attributes, his character, talking about his eternal is eternalness. He wants us to go in and he wants us to look at that, to make that a part of our lives, to go in there and just strive to be closer to him. But because of God's eternal nature, we can find comfort in the fact that he, well, he knows what has, is, and is going to happen. We can look at God and we can find comfort in that fact. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 12 says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to forsake you. Plans for a hope and a future. This is something that they're learning at the Christian school in town, that the kids are learning. And I think about that from time to time. I know the plans I have for you. God has seen your past, he is seeing your now, and he is seeing your future. And if you have a God that's seeing all of that at one moment in time, why do we not trust him with our plans, with our future, with our lives? And this is a moment that we can rest assured and we can have comfort. We can have peace in the fact that our God is eternal, eternal in his presence, eternal in his nature, and eternal in his promises. And this is a point where we get to celebrate those facts, that you can stand up and you can praise God because our God is eternal. So as we get ready to leave this morning, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Jeff.